Good morning. We'd like to open our Bibles this morning to the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 5, 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. But watch in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. What I want to concentrate on this morning is this last phrase, make full proof of your ministry. The word translated ministry in the Greek is the word diakonia, and I'm not big on the Greek words, but it's the whole idea from where we get the word deacon. And when we think of deacon, we always think of manual labor. The word actually occurs in our New Testament 34 times, and it's translated in different ways. It's translated ministry, it's translated administration, it's translated service, It's translated relief, as in missionary relief. They wanted to send missionary relief to one of the churches that was suffering. And it's translated office, like do your office or do your duty. The first mention we have of the word ministry, or this idea of, or the, it's translated service in this verse, is found in Luke's Gospel chapter 10 and verse 40. Speaking about Martha, she was cumbered with much serving. Okay, so that's the first example that we have. Later we have the example over in the book of Acts, where they wanted to replace Judas, who served in the ministry, with Jesus. And remember, what was Judas's main office in ministry? It was being the treasurer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18, we have another expression of the word ministry. And the Apostle Paul says, God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. So what was that ministry? How was it used in that respect? Is used with the idea of gospel work. So I want to think about this idea of ministry. It says, make full proof of your ministry. Are we all involved? I know when I start this meeting, you will be thinking that I'm have the idea that nobody's doing anything around here. But by the time you finish, you'll realize how much work is actually going on in this little assembly here. In the book of Galatians says we are to bear one another's burdens. We're supposed to share the load. And we're going to find out that there's some people that are carrying a very heavy burden. And I tried to talk to different people before we started out. I want to talk about, first of all, I want to talk about deacon work, because there's where we get the word ministry. That's how it's used in most of its occasion. More specifically, when we talk about deacon work, it's all the activity that's necessary for a spiritual work to carry on. And some people have the idea, well, the guy up on the platform, the guy that's preaching, he has the real job, and the guys that are doing the deacon work, well, their work doesn't really matter. I was listening to Rabbi Zacharias the other day, and he says the Christian men that are selling oil and gasoline are as important as the work that I am doing in universities, preaching the gospel and disputing with the students and so on. Why? He said, because if they're not selling oil and gasoline, then I have no ability to get from place to place. So he was putting the emphasis that how we're working together, the church is described as a body. So we have this verse in Acts chapter 6 in verses 2 and 4, and it reads like this. The 12 summoned the multitude. That's the apostles. The 12 apostles summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, It is not appropriate for us to forsake the word of God and to serve tables. Therefore, select from among you, brothers, even men of good report, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will continue steadfastly in prayer and ministry of the word. Have you ever thought about that verse? It says, select from among you brothers that are of good report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Why would you think deacon work would require spiritual men? Well, you must think about the original context. What were they supposed to be doing? They were supposed to be serving tables of the widows. Okay? So what is a widow? A widow is a woman that has lost her husband. And some widows are young and some are old. When we think of widows, we're thinking about the little old lady with a cane walking along. But there would be some young widows among that group. And could you imagine sending in some men into that group to serve this group of young women that have lost their husbands, and they are not spiritual men? They would be like the fox in the hen house. They would not be spiritual men. They would not be caring about the women. They'd be caring about their own lustly feelings and so on. So the work of God, it doesn't matter. Remember I said about the use of this word with the idea of treasurer. Seek out spiritual men. Holy men, men full of the Holy Spirit. Could you imagine the man, and he is appointed the treasurer in the church? And he is not a spiritual man. He actually has a little bit of a drug habit and a gambling habit. So what do you think he's doing with the money that was taken, collected in the church? There was a man yesterday in the newspaper, and he was taking a picture, and he's standing there, and maybe some of you saw it. He's got a big stack of bills like this. And he's showing it on social media. Well, the police came knocking on his door. He had robbed $82,000 from the bank he was working. And he's on social media showing off his big wad of cash. Okay? So if we have the same men from this church or women, because sometimes women are treasurers also, and if they are not spiritual people, then we can see things going astray. And I want to think about this, and I want to think about the different ministries that are going on in the church this morning. It's going to be a very practical message in that sense. We have a men's business meeting. I have never been there, okay? So I don't know a lot of what goes on, but I understand what goes on is the maintenance of this building, okay? We have a parking lot out there. There's a parking lot fund that we need new pavement. When you come here in the wintertime, you drive right in and you slide into your parking spot because the businessmen have decided we need somebody to clean the snow out of the parking lot. So these are duties that somebody is doing on your behalf. When you came here this morning for the breaking of bread, there was a table here and there was bread on it and there was a cup. And there was wine in the cups. Well, last Sunday, I was down in Upton. I was preaching down there. And Brother Tim, he doesn't see very well. And he says, Wayne, he said, would you like to go and fill up those cups? Because nobody had done it. So I'm over there filling up the cups. This is deacon work. This is important stuff. Because if the cups aren't filled, we cannot have a breaking of bread service. Is there any need for men in that? We have a prayer meeting on Thursday mornings, the men, and one Thursday morning we come down, and I'm expecting to see the men up here because they're always up here, and I'm always the last one getting in, okay? I'll be honest with that, okay? And it's not my wife's fault either, okay? Anyway, I'm looking for the men. Where are they at? They're downstairs. What are they doing? They're squatting wasps. Because there was a whole bunch of wasps get in, and so they had already had the plan in effect what they were going to be doing to take care of those wasps. Okay, so that's the men's business meeting. So if there's any men that have a little bit of maintenance skills, I guess that would be, when we have the camp cleanup down at Emmanuel Bible Camp in the spring. When I get there, Jerry is always sort of shaking his head. What do I do with Wayne? You know, like he's useless. He can't do anything. You know. But there's always place to clean, right? So there's always cleaners needed. there's the cleaning duties in the chapel. Once a week, somebody comes here and they clean, so you come in, the place is nice and clean. Down in Montague, they say the cleaning privileges, and every time I hear that, I'm thinking, because I hate vacuuming, okay? It's not fun, okay? But it has to be done. You know, it's like washing dishes. When you're a kid, you hated washing dishes. One thing I hate worse than washing dishes is eating off dirty dishes, okay? So that's deacon work. There's a library that's set up. Not too many people are using the library, or not enough people are using the library. Also, if there's any young men that would like some study books, I'm always trying to give out study books to young men. Some of the guys are looking, saying, yeah, not again, Wayne, you know. But somebody has organized that. I know somebody went online and they put it online. There's a bulletin that goes out every Sunday morning. And there's a sister, a devoted sister, that spends a lot of time doing all that, all the programming. She was complaining because it was a different format this week. She had a new format and everything was working perfect, and all of a sudden everything crashed and she had to put it back in the old format. So that's a big job for her. If there's somebody that has computer skills, you say, listen, Rachel, I'd like to help you with that bulletin. Can I help you? And I don't think she'd say, no, this is my baby. You know, I got this, okay? We're in this together. We want to share the burden. By the fact that you can hear me this morning means that there's people working in the sound room. And I know, and I'm going to mention some names here. There's Alan and Keith and Franklin, and I mentioned those names. But I want to mention a new name. If you would take a look, everybody take a look back there right now. Look back there. Okay, there she is. That's our newest member in the sound room. Okay, sorry, Mackenzie. Okay. Why do I mention that? Because we are always trying to involve new people. And I want to think about this ministry also, because over here we have a piano, and you'll notice that week after week we have different people that are playing the piano. Okay? And we all have our favorites, I know, you know. And some of them play the way we like, and some are too slow, and some are too fast, and everybody has their own preference, right? But what I like about this assembly here, I've been in churches, and I'll hear people say, I've been the organist for the last 40 years, you know what I mean? And they're proud of it, you know what I mean? Like I'm really happy that we have a shared platform. We're always training up new ones, and the older ones are stepping aside. Okay, I've done this long enough, you know, I think it's time for you. And I remember Mrs. Hilda Stearns, she'd say, I don't know where those girls are finding those notes. Those notes are not in the paper. And she's bragging about them, how good they are, right? So I really appreciate that part of the work. Another thing is the man that's on the door. We need a happy face on the door. When I see Hank on the door and I come through the door and he's got that big smile, it encourages me. When I see Jock on the door, it encourages me. You know what I mean? I'd be the last guy that you want on the door, the guy with the cranky face. And, you know, sometimes I'm really happy, and other times I have this face like I'm angry, and I look in the mirror and I scare myself. I just can't turn it off. I want to, but I can't, right? So you know, some people are blessed with this happy, joyous, peaceful, friendly attitude. The chairman of the meetings, we just had Jesse up here, and the job that the chairman does, he's the first face, he's the first voice that a lot of people really experience with Charlottetown Bible Chapel. This is a very, very important job, young men. It's also training for your presentation when you're preaching the gospel, when you're ministering the word. It's teaching you to be able to think on your feet and learn to present yourself and represent the church in a good way. So that's the some of the things that are involved with the deacon work. And then I want to think about outreach. This is gospel-oriented ministry. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every person. Everybody out there is our mission field. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I was speaking with different ones. I was talking to Misty about the Sunday school, and I was asking her about her needs and about her concerns. and so on. And it's an overwhelming job. When you get down there on Sunday morning, we're thinking about getting down for a coffee and our snack, and you see the people that are involved in the Sunday school. They're there and they're setting up their chairs, and they got all this thing that's lined up, okay? And they have in their mind, and I have noticed lately that she has had some young men helping her set up some chairs and things like that. And see, young men, this is an awesome opportunity. There's a lot of young men here in the front rows, okay, to serve the Lord, okay, because God will repay you for your service. And it's teaching you to be obedient to the Lord and fulfill the Great Commission, because if those chairs are not there, the kids are going to have to stand there for 45 minutes, okay? So it's nice that they can be looked after. Another thing with the Sunday school is the summer relief. Sunday school goes to the end of June, and then what happens for that July and August? There's no Sunday school. There's only a very minimal Sunday school, and different people are supposed to be signing up on the list, and trying to get people to sign up on that list is very, very difficult, okay? So if you say, okay, this year, next July, I'm going to put my name down for a Sunday. Only one. We're not asking you to do 8 Sundays. We're asking you, would you put your name down to do one Sunday? Would you think about that? Pray about that. Okay, we're not forcing. We're not twisting any arms. This is something that we can be involved actively in the ministry of the Lord. And then we have Club 316. I was asking Jesse how that was going, okay, and how big his numbers were and so on. And, you know, and he said, well, our numbers are down from last year and so on. And I say, listen, whenever you're starting out a ministry, sometimes you have this idea, listen, you know, you hear about some of these Sunday schools in other cities, and they've had 1,000 kids and so on, and you get there. I remember when I was in El Salvador, we had visited the whole town, gave out invitations to the whole place, and we went in there the first Sunday morning, there was one kid in Sunday school, you know? And you say, that's really bad, and I say, well, we have to work harder, and then we started inviting other kids out, and we say, okay, we're going to stop and pick you up next week, okay? And then next week we had 4 kids and so on, right? But here's the way I want you to approach this. When you're starting a new ministry, you say, listen, that's 4 more than we had last year. It's 4 more than we had last week, because we didn't have any. There was no Sunday school, okay? You have the young people that has been going on. And so many young couples have been involved. They've been able to pass it on to someone else, and that's always good to do, to be able to pass it on to other people. But it's important, again, when we're involved in that ministry of the young peoples, that we realize that it's a spiritual ministry. It's not just to fill a couple of hours of a person's week it's not to entertain our teenagers. It's to give a message, and I know that you're doing a great job, and I have no complaints whatsoever with the young people. Meetings, but I'm saying there is opportunity. Okay, I was talking to Miles, and he said that they have passed on this ministry to somebody else. And I know when he would say, well, okay, we're going to pass this on, okay, it's time for Paul and I to sort of step aside and let someone else take over. Who do you think he's looking for? Do you think he's looking for the couple that's more carnal than any other couple? No. He's looking for a spiritual couple that will be able to have the best interests of those kids at heart. So this is going to sort of branch into a little bit the other part. Young people's conferences. I think that was a great thing. When we moved from British Columbia back to PEI, the young people's in Ladner was very, very poor. And when we moved here, we were so thrilled, because I said, not only do they have a solid young people with 40 to 50 kids coming out every week, they also have youth conferences, 4 youth conferences a year. And that's remarkable. But there's also work that goes with that. What is the work? Well, if you're going to be a young people's leader, you might even have to say, hey, Wayne and Veronica, can you help us take some kids over to Moncton? Can you help us take some kids to Fredericton? And so on, because there's drivers needed. And then when we host it over here, then you have to go around and say, listen, do you have any room in your house to take 4 loud teenagers this weekend? You know, and all this kind of stuff. So there's another part of our ministry. Make full proof of your ministry. I wanted to think about the college in Korea. I was talking to Caleb about that and how things are going. They had 38 kids the other night. Isn't that wonderful? 38 kids. 2 years ago, there was zero, okay? And there was some young men that saw a need. Caleb and Noah and Ty stepped up to the plate and they said, we want to try this and see how it works. And then they've been involving other people, and I'm really happy about that. And they're getting some more maturity in their leadership and so on. It's important that we draw from the resources that we have. Another thing I just started to do this year was a Spanish gospel outreach. We started to have a Spanish Bible study. And that's sort of been going sort of dips and dabs, you know. I sort of had great plans for this again in my mind. But you can always learn to face reality that things are not always going to go exactly the way that you want them to go. Another thing is when we lived in British Columbia before we come back here, Veronica's best friend, Veronica at that time, she would probably be about 30 years old. Her best friend was a 65-year-old woman. Okay? You know, any 30-year-old girls here? Look around to the 65-year-olds and say, I want her to be my best friend. Well, that's what Veronica did. She had, it's not that that's what she, it just worked out that way, but here was a woman that was a spiritual woman. A woman, and she's 75 now, and she's still going on. She's still carrying on serving the Lord, you know, like to her ultimate ability. She's doing that, right? And so Veronica started with the idea of a tea party. They were doing, her and Marie were doing it out there, and then she came back to PEI. She says, well, I need some help, and she called on Gloria. And not because Gloria's older, okay? She looked for somebody mature. She looked for somebody that has a caring heart, okay? And they've been doing that every spring. They've had a tea party. And then they said, well, not only a tea party, now let's have a gingerbread house at Christmas time. And there was 14 girls over the other night at my house. It was very, very, very noisy and very, very messy, okay? I was working hard cleaning up after you young ladies, okay? But it was the joy of the Lord. And sometimes we get so introspective also that we're thinking that it's only for us inside the chapel. It was. She was supposed to be starting at 6:30 having the meeting. At 5:30, she says, you know, there's some people down in the corner. I think they have some girls. And she got in her car and she ran down and drove down there and knocked on the door and said, listen, I'm having a gingerbread house party tonight for it's a Christian outreach and this is what we're doing. And she met another Christian. The little girls couldn't come. They were occupied and so on. But sometimes we have to sort of stop and say, what kind of an outreach can I have with this ministry? And then there's the old home week. Bill Mooney was the one that's been pushing that. And sometimes he'll come and say, hey, are you going to be involved this year? And sometimes, no, not again. You mean sometimes you feel like you're overburdened and so on. But this is a great gospel outreach. It's been carrying on now for about the last 4 years, I think it has. Some people say, well, I'm not really good at talking to people in the booth. Well, there's other jobs that you can do. Okay, the balloons that have to be blown up, they used to have these tanks of oxygen that we have to blow up balloons. It's not helium this last year. But somebody has to bring those over. Those things are heavy, okay? So this is not a lady's job unless you're a super weightlifting lady, you know? Anyway, so this is a job that you can do. There's setting up the booth, and some people really have their decorative touch, okay? I don't. I'm better at the other end, tearing things down, destroying things, you know? So there's the other part. It still has to be done, and it has to be carried, and it has to be packed away, and so on for next year. And then there's another outreach that was started, preaching at the Mount, okay? Brian Taylor and Robbie McGregor do that every Monday. There's a lot of things that people don't even know that's going on here, and we should be praying for that outreach. The other thing is when they're there preaching at the old folks' home or at the Mount, usually Robbie's there, and Robbie's a great piano player. He's second to no one. He gets there and he plays away. Well, sometimes Robbie gets sick. So what happens? Brian says, "Well, I know a piano player," and he phones Kelly. And so I'm there. I went there to help him out that week that Robbie was sick. And who comes in? Kelly and Jesse on their crutches. Okay? Both of them with broken legs or whatever happened to their legs, and they're not saying, okay, well, no, we're sick. We can't go. The two of them are there filling in. Okay? Make full proof of your ministry. Now, there's other piano players, and I understand that not everybody has the same liberty, okay, where you have the freedom, well, I can go on Monday morning because you're working, okay, you're going to school. But if you're available, you say, Brian, if you ever need a piano player, I'm available for you, okay? So that's another thing. And then I want to go in the next part, social functions. You say, well, where does social functions fit in this here? Acts 13 and 2, as they, okay, Acts 2, 46, 47, day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread at home, they took their food in gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. So the people were meeting together. Their friends were their friends from the assembly, okay? You know, they're not going to go with, when I was a meat cutter years ago, it was my last day on the job, or I was leaving and going to work in the insurance, and my friend says, hey, let's get down to the pub. And I say, well, I'm not going to the pub. I'm a Christian, you know? And so, you know, some guys would say, no, come on, Dan, you can have a ginger ale, you know? And I said, no, this is not where my head is. That was my old life. I said, Christians need a social circle of Christian friends. And where am I going with this? Well, we had the senior tea, the Christmas senior tea. Okay, so that was something that's important. And then I'm going to step out on a limb here. There's the middle-aged ladies night out with the kids. Okay, you know who you are, like, or the birthday club, or a bunch of young ladies that are, you know, like in the 40s, you know, around that age, and they go once a month, and they'll go out for dinner together, and they have a social time together, spiritual friendship. Okay, and then I just heard recently that there's a young parents group, and I think that is really awesome because you need support helping each other, and you share all things common because you have your little kids and you know what one's going through and the other family's going through, and it's important that you spend time together because most of your job will be consumed with looking after that little one, but you need social outreach also. And then I want to think about the missionary outreach. In Acts 13 and 2, it says, As they served the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate Barnabas and Saul for me for the work which I have called them to do. And there's a ladies' missionary group in this assembly. I don't know if you know about that, but there's a ladies' missionary group. There's between 12 and 18 ladies meet once a month, I believe it is. And they meet on the same time as the ladies' Bible study. There's another thing that we'll talk about. They supply, I saw some of the young people's one night, they were down there and they were wrapping all these bandages. They had long bandages and they were folding them and cutting them and all kinds of things. And then this stuff gets shipped over to Africa and so on. But the missionaries over there, they don't have that kind of supply. There's hospitals, Christian hospitals, that the government doesn't support, or they support very little. And if it isn't for the Christian ladies in Canada and the U.S. to support them, they would really be failing in their work. So you're serving the Lord when you're involved in things like this. And then there's the ladies' Bible study that's involved in that also. And last week we had the El Salvador benefit concert down. We raised over $1,000. So I thank you for everyone that played. There was a lot of musicians that come out, and then there was a lot of people here that come out and supported and donated very, very generously. And the kids down in El Salvador will benefit because of that. And then I want to think about ministry also. I want to think about the elders in the assembly. Okay. The Apostle Paul wrote to Titus, and he said, I left you in Crete for this reason, that you would set in order the things that were lacking and appoint elders in every city. Titus 1:1-5. Take heed therefore to yourselves. This is Paul writing to the Ephesian elders. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the assembly of the Lord, and God, which he purchased with his own blood. That's Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Now, some people have this idea that elders are elected. In the Charlottetown Bible Chapel, the elders are not elected. Okay, we don't have a meeting once a year and say, well, who's the most popular guy here? Okay, we'll put his name up and his name and his name, and then we'll have an election and see which guys get in office. And then 4 years later, 2 years later, they're out. Okay, do you remember what I said? I made a reference to Miles in the beginning when he was leading the young peoples, him and Paul, and they were stepping aside. And then they're looking for other people. Well, like I said, he has this spiritual maturity to look over the audience and say, well, he's mature, but he'd be terrible with kids. And there's people like that too. You know, there's some people that are really good with young people, and there's other people that are, you know, old fuddy-duddies, and the kids are not going to relate to them, and so on. And in the same way, Titus, as he looked over the churches in Crete, he would go through that church and he would say, there is a spiritual man that cares for the people. There's another spiritual man that cares for the people. God has his eye upon you, but spiritual men are also able to identify you, whether you really care about the church or you're just caring about making a name for yourself. So what are the duties of an overseer? There's a lot of things. I remember recently one brother, they announced that he was going to be an elder. And I heard some people come up, and I don't know how many years ago this was, but I heard people come up and say, congratulations! It's like you just got in the door, and now your name is on the wall, and it's all over. And that's only the beginning. And I'm thinking, brother, you don't know what you're in for yet, you know? And it's not just a congratulations, it's like there's a lot of work. It says, do the work of an overseer. And so what are we supposed to be doing? What's our relationship? We're supposed to be praying for the elders. We're supposed to be supporting them because they have to deal with very difficult subjects. Sometimes there's husbands and wives that have terrible relationships, and sometimes they have to go in and see if they can patch that up. And I remember like Jabe Nicholson saying, listen, this marriage problem didn't start happening in one night. It's not going to get solved in one night. So there's going to be some counseling that's needed. So elders have a big responsibility. And not only going and counseling people, but they have to be overlooking and seeing possible problems in the future. You don't wait until the doors are blown off the house before you go in and put new ones on. When you see the doors shaky on the hinge, Jerry will tell you that. You know, if he fails a door, if he comes to your house and the thing is starting to fall off, Jerry will go back to his car and he'll get a screwdriver and he'll be fixing that for you. That's the way he is. And it's the same with the elders. The elders have this same desire. If they see a little bit of a problem, they want to come alongside of you and help you and build you up. So these are things. There's other things that happen. There's hospital visitation that elders are involved in. And I know one brother, he spends a lot of time in the hospital. You mean I say, I just come back from the hospital. Were he sick? No, that's where he spends. That's his workbench, you know. He's ministering unto the people. And then there's the fall conference that they have here, special meetings, choosing different speakers and so on, trying to build up the Church of God. So these are some other things that I want to bring to the forefront. Make full proof of your ministry. And then I want to think about the subject of prayer. Prayer. I exhort, therefore, first of all, that petitions, some translations have supplications, and prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in high places, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and reverence. I was greatly affected by visiting the Gaspé. When I went up there, I met a guy by the name of Ramon Ricard, and him and some other brothers, they meet every day of the week for prayer. Every day. I remember getting up there. I got up there late Friday night, and Mark Galabois phoned me, and he said, you're coming up for a prayer meeting at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. I think I'll catch you on the next one, you know. So I only didn't have to wait for very long. And then the next day, they had another one, right? Okay, so they're there, and they pray, and they pray, and they pray. And they're asking God's face. Before I come up here, I was coming up for my coffee, and I saw Jesse, And I said, Jesse, come and pray with me, because if your dad was here, your dad would be saying, Wayne, let's go and pray. John Donnelly is another guy. Okay, John. And I'd be speaking lots of times, John Donnelly and John DeVries. I guess if your name's John, you're a prayer. And they say, okay, let's go into the room and pray. And we do that. I was thinking about even that as far as a ministry. You know, when I grew up in Ladner, and I became a Christian 43 years ago, every gospel meeting, before they had a gospel meeting, they had a room where men were down there praying. Every meeting. So maybe you might be the young man that would say, listen, I think we should have a prayer meeting. Get your coffee, get your donuts and things first, and maybe pick one of the classrooms and say, let's have a group of guys, and we'll go in and we'll pray before the meeting. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know. If you say, well, it's only 5 minutes, well, that's five more minutes than there was last week and the week before. So that's another idea for your ministry. We have a ladies' prayer meeting every Tuesday morning. We have a ladies' prayer chain. If you look in your bulletin, if you're sick or if you know someone is sick, that's the person to phone. There's some different names on there, and you phone them, and these ladies are going to go into action praying for you. If you don't have enough on your plate, you want to start praying for people, say, listen, add me on that list. I want to pray. The men's prayer meeting. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, it says, Peter was kept in prison. Prayer was made for him in the church without ceasing. So these are real things. Prayer is real. And what happened? Peter was delivered from being in prison. When he got to the door, they didn't even believe it was him. They said it's his ghost, you know? So sometimes we pray without believing. So there's another encouragement for us to pray. Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting, we're talking about that. You'll notice every Wednesday night when you come here, the prayers, that the chairs magically appear in the middle of the floor. Okay? You walk in the door and the whole room is empty, and then you take one more step and there's 80 chairs there. No, it's not what happens. Somebody was here before you and they were setting up chairs. And then it's time after the prayer meeting is over that all these chairs, you think they're going to go back into that room the same way, and you stand talking with your friends. What does the Bible say? Make full proof of your ministry. What do you do? Well, you say, well, there's some racks. Okay, let's start putting them on. And if everybody goes and grabs a few chairs, those chairs will be back in there, and then you can talk with your friends until midnight if you want. Okay? Make full proof of your ministry. The Lord's Supper. I say, is the Lord's Supper a ministry? Okay, Romans chapter 12 talks about presenting your bodies as a spiritual sacrifice to the Lord. Okay? In Hebrews chapter 13, it talks about giving thanks unto God, the fruit of our lips. Okay? So, you know, some people, they like spectator sports, you know, because they can just go there and they can watch, you know, they call them armchair quarterbacks and so on. They can criticize everybody on the field. But, you know, the local assembly, you come to the breaking of bread, and it's not like like when I used to play like basketball or football or so. I hated football the worst. I'll tell you why. Because nobody would ever throw the ball to me, okay? They say, Wayne, you run down that side, and then you cut over like this, and then you zig back here. And I'm thinking, why am I going to do that? Nobody ever throws me the ball anyway. And everybody else in the other team knows that they're never going to throw me the ball. That's why I like playing hockey, because I could get in there. I was a faster skater than most, and I could get in there and get the puck myself. I never got good at putting it in the net, but at least I got the puck. So the spectator sport versus an active sport. Okay, when we come to the breaking of bread, this morning was very refreshing. How many young voices did we hear this morning? Wasn't that encouraging? But you know what? I don't want to just say it's the young men we want to hear. We want to hear the older men too. Why? Because with the older men, there is wisdom and maturity that we don't see with the young men. We see the enthusiasm and the excitement in the young men, but we can see the maturity in older men. And brothers, I want you to encourage you to participate. The Lord is waiting to hear your voice. Sunday morning message and Sunday evening message. This is another part of our ministry. And we have to come prepared. We have to put in our time. We have to study our Bibles. You have to use commentaries. You have to ask your friends, listen, I'm struggling with this verse. What does this mean? I'm not sure that what this means. And phone up somebody, you know, like phone up Don, phone up Franklin, phone up Leonard, phone up Dave, phone up Dan, whoever you want to phone up, and say, listen, I need some feedback. You know, get two or three, four voices, and it'll help you fill out your thoughts. I want you to encourage you to do that. And in closing, I want to talk about the Emmanuel Bible Camp, because that is a very, very big outreach. It's a subject on itself. The first thing we should be praying for is a camp director. Is that what you call the camp director, the management, the leadership there? We've been sort of winging it the last number of years, and I'm not saying it's a bad job. I'm just saying the people that have been doing it for years say we should have leadership in position, a full-time people involved in that ministry. So we should be praying for that. It's becoming more difficult with counselors, getting counselors, because now that we're requiring two counselors per cabin. Okay, so before we had lots of counselors, now we have a shortage of counselors because of that. So young men, if you can say, well, listen, it's always young men that are more short than women too, right, as far as I understand. So if you can say, well, listen, I want to take a week. That's my summer holidays, and I want to dedicate that week to Bible camp. I know last year the girls were on the maintenance crew, and somebody said they outshone the boys, did they? I won't go there. No, but they did a great job. Anybody's able to cut grass. Everybody's able to pick up stuff that's on the ground that shouldn't be there, to put bicycles away and so on. So there's maintenance in the dining hall and so on. There's the work of the cooks. There's the work of the disc chicks. There's the work of the lifeguard. They were worried because they didn't have a lifeguard, and we're trying to get a lifeguard, and then a girl stepped up at the last moment. And then the work parties at the camp start up, and the camp shut down. And there's a lot of work. Usually there's 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks, because enough people don't show up that first couple of weeks. You know, if everybody would show up the first day, most of it would get done the first day, right? So these are things, make full proof of your ministry. If you're able to help, like I said at the beginning of the meeting, people thought that I was saying that nobody was doing anything. Well, I've counted about 40 different things here on this list. 40 things that the church is involved in. And then there's the women's retreat at the beginning of the summer camp. There's the men's retreat at the end of the summer camp. There's a lot of work goes into all these things. And then I want to talk about the there was a need a number of years ago for a ball hockey court. Some young men, they said, it'd be sure nice to have a ball hockey court down here, you know. Somebody said, yeah, that's a good idea, but we don't have any money to do that. So there was a couple of young men, they took it upon themselves to work and to save, and before too long, there was a ball hockey court there. I know there's a swimming pool there that wasn't there when we first come back here 6 years ago, and somebody had the idea, well, the kids are swimming in that dirty old lake, and we don't want them in that dirty old lake. We're going to get them into the nice, clean, shiny pool. And we get a nice shiny pool, and the kids go back in the dirty lake again. But anyway, both things are great. But the thing is, it was a need. Somebody saw a need, and somebody dug down deep, and now there's a swimming pool. And then there was, right in the process, there's a paintball course. We'll all call it the paintball course. Out in the middle of the woods, there's paths and so on, that some other young men had a desire for, and they started working and dedicating them stuff, and then sort of babies come in the way and sort of slows things down and so on. But this is where we have to try to encourage, recruit, and pull other people. We have a vision, but we have to share the vision with others. Another thing I was thinking about, you know, now is the big trend. I've seen this, you know, 30 years ago when I lived in Ladner, was the Frisbee golf courses. But now all of a sudden they're starting to show up on PEI 30 years later. You know, there's even one over in the Cornwall in front of the Municipal Hall and so on. Well, that would be a very easy project if somebody had an idea. Not easy because it costs money, it costs time, but just on the outside of the property, to put in some stands with some hoops and they can have a Frisbee golf course on the outside. I'm always thinking about ideas, and I was just saying, thinking about that just in closing now. Do you ever think about ideas for sharing the gospel? You ever think about that? In ways that you consider reach out that has never been done. You know, back in the old days, the gospel preachers, the open air preachers, they used to go to the movie theater because it was a big lineup outside the theater. Nowadays, waiting for the movie to open and everybody to get in. That no longer exists. So what do they have to do? They have to think about something else. You know, and we used to show gospel movies in towns in El Salvador because there was very little places had light, and we'd get hundreds and hundreds of people. Now everybody has TVs and videos and online, and they don't need that anymore. So we always have to be thinking about things to share the gospel. So I just want to sort of plant that thought in your mind. If you come up with another idea, a new way, an innovative way to share the gospel, talk about it with your friends and talk about it with other people that are involved in gospel work, and we'll see how we can work so that we might make full proof of our ministry. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we've been saved. It was an individual event when each one of us, realizing how lost and guilty we were, and we could not save ourselves, and we were doomed, and eternity was ahead, and Father, we're without hope, but Father, we're thankful that somebody explained the gospel to us, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Father, we're thankful for that act of repentance, that act of recognizing our lostness and recognizing there was a Savior that loved us and died for us. We give you thanks now. Commend this day to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.